It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Yeah, here we go. Hour number two of the Drive underway. Fan Run Radio coming to you live this afternoon from Smoky Stadium. We are inside the Batter's Box restaurant. If you come out here early to the ballpark tonight, be sure to stop by and say hello. We got Bob Baskerville on loan from the morning show hanging out with us as we get ready for the Smokies and the Shuckers coming up tonight straight out of Biloxi for a 7 p.m. first pitch tonight here at Smoky Stadium. We begin hour number two at the top four at four. Tucker Harlan, what do you got?
Thank you, Russell. At number one, we have a development in Tennessee's legal struggle against the NCAA. The states of Florida, New York, and the District of Columbia have joined Tennessee and Virginia in their case against the NCAA's NIL guidelines. Of course, Judge Clifton Corker granted Tennessee and Virginia a preliminary injunction following a hearing back in Greenville in February.
Now that it looks like it's going to be successful, everybody wants in, huh? They let us kind of twist in the breeze, us in Virginia, a couple of months ago, as I recall.
That's a whole different conversation for another time. We talked about that a little bit this morning about the whole NCAA or the SEC Big Ten revenue share plan, which is kind of feels like those conferences continue their effort to big boy the NCAA basically, and what it could mean to this thing that Tucker's referring to too. It's complicated.
Yeah, I was wondering if Florida was going to be one of the states that joined in on this, seeing that Florida State and Florida, for that matter, have both had some investigations lately from the NCAA with NIL stuff. I know Florida State was fined, and a certain assistant of theirs is on a 3 or 4 game suspension. That's an offensive coordinator, I think.
Yeah.
Somebody on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I mean, do you go back and retroactively rescind that punishment at a certain point, because that's legal now too, like the school's coordinating with the collective to, or it's going to be. I mean, it's the stuff changes by the day, and it's hard to keep up with, really.
It's true.
At number two, Kentucky has landed another piece for its basketball team out of the transfer portal, and you guys will be familiar with this one. Former Arizona and West Virginia shooting guard Kerr Carissa has committed to Mark Pope.
Really?
Carissa averaged 11 points this past year with the Mountaineers, but missed several games due to a suspension at the beginning of the season that related to his transfer from Arizona to West Virginia.
You thought he was obnoxious playing for Arizona. Wait till you see him playing for Kentucky.
Yeah. Hey, don't look now, but Pope is putting things together. Yeah. Kobe Brea committed as well from Dayton.
Okay.
And who was recruited only by Blue Bloods, basically. I mean, it was like he had pretty much, everybody wanted him, but he was like, I'll pick between Duke, UConn, Kentucky, Kansas. I mean, he had a murderer's row of schools to choose, and he chose them today.
It's not terribly surprising to me that he's putting together a decent roster. I did not think he was just going to bring all the BYU's guys and a couple of mid-majors. Like, you know, they're going to invest in it, and I'm sure their NIL program is robust. But both Pope and Calipari is putting together a nice roster too, getting – hope I'm not stealing your thunder here, Tucker, but John L. Davis added to the mix. So they've got three high-profile transfers, and John L. Davis from FAU, who is one of the better players in the portal this year, Jonas, Big Z from Kentucky, and then they've got three five-stars.
Three of the original Kentucky commits.
So he's building his own thing. I don't think talent is going to be an issue for either one of those programs.
No, Kentucky looks big, too. They've got like three guys that are 6'10 or taller coming in now out of the portal.
I'm fine with our situation, though, man. I like the additions. And if we get Chaz Lanier from North Florida, I would not trade our roster for Kentucky or Arkansas.
I agree. I like where we're stacking up. I mean, we talked about this yesterday. Bart Torvik is, you know, even without Chaz Lanier in the mix, Tennessee's ranked, like, he ranks in the 7th best roster in the country. So it's not a bad look.
And we've still got more to go. Yeah, we good, as the kids say.
Yeah, as Dion says, too. Yeah, we'll get to that.
All right.
Yeah.
At number three, new information has been revealed about Ipe Mizuhara's funneling of $60 million of Shohei Ohtani's money into sports betting. Mizuhara was sending $500,000 payments to illegal California bookie Matthew Boyer, who proceeded to use said payments at Vegas casinos regularly. The money was deposited and converted into playing chips and later cashed out by the bookie.
It is a
tangled web we weave.
Yeah, there's. It's almost like I don't want to hear more about this. I have a feeling there's more. There's much more to it than we
really
all know. Yeah, I think so. Meaning, and I say that meaning like there's no way Shohei's not aware and was oblivious to all of this.
I don't buy it. If that has happened, and I don't know all the details, I need to read up on this, but it feels like the prudent thing to do in Major League Baseball, if you take gambling seriously, and historically they have, going back to 1919 and certainly the Pete Rose thing, then you would suspend Shohei Ohtani immediately. This story broke before the season, before the regular season
begun.
And I don't want to say that they are trying to sweep it under the rug, because I think it's impossible to sweep a story like this under the rug, but I don't get the feeling that Rob Manfred and people in Major League Baseball front offices are particularly, I'm sure they're concerned about it, but I don't know. And it seems like maybe I'm being naive here, but it seems like if he were really tied in, that the prudent thing to do would be to get him out of the games immediately. I mean, I would, if he was fixing games or, you know, in the vicinity of fixing games last season and before, I would hope that he's smart enough not to be doing anything like that right now. But gambling can lead people to do a lot of not very smart things.
And finally, at number four, we alluded to this earlier, there is an ongoing Twitter spat involving Deion Sanders, his son Shadur, along with current and former Colorado players that are now at other schools. Shadur Sanders referred to a former receiver that transferred out as mid on Twitter, which prompted several teammates to join the conversation. Deion then put out a cryptic post this morning that received a response to tell his son to, quote, stop acting like he's the coldest out here when he puts up a 4-8 season. Deion responded by claiming Shadur would be a top 5 pick and asked where the account's son was being picked. And, of course, that has transpired into other things here of late.
I think there's going to be a lot of people cheering for the demise of Colorado and Coach Prime. I really believe that.
Well, they've attracted attention to themselves, whether they want to or not. You know, they've had all these battles on Twitter, and Deion is telling the media members what to think, how to think, only to see them just crash and burn last season. And it feels like they're very much en route to do that again this season.
Just makes me grateful to have mild-mannered Josh Heupel at the helm here in Knoxville. I don't have to worry about any of this Twitter foolishness with him.
I really believe Josh Heupel, and then also that you have an athletic director that's smart. I don't know any other way to put it, and we have one, and I'm thankful for that, because I think some of these other there's athletic directors all around the country that would buy into whatever Deion was selling. And I get it. Colorado had to build a program from the ground up. They had really hit rock bottom, but I'm not sure they come out of this, when it's all said and done, much better than where they were. And, you know, it just makes you wonder how long Deion will even be there.
Yeah.
They got a tough season ahead, man. I mean, I just, you know, moving into the Big 12, I just don't think they're going to be favored in many games.
Bear, you pulling for Deion this year? You like him?
Kind of ambivalent. It's cringy in a way, and
yeah,
you know, it's not. I just don't see how you can be successful at the upper levels and be it just kind of screams unprofessional to me.
Oh, and no, it's. It was kind of amusing, man. He coached there last year and gives a level of access to a D1 football program that we've never seen before with the video. I watched a lot of those videos, and some of it was interesting. But he also seems like a guy that's concerned with a lot of things that don't have much to do with winning.
No, you're right.
And that's what, I again, to bring it back to Heupel, it's like, okay, he's doesn't give a very juicy quote or interview or anything like that, but I don't know what he's doing today or tomorrow or the rest of the week or next week or really any time this summer, but I'm pretty sure it's something productive that's going to help come fall. And you've worried about that, certainly with Deion and with other guys. You know, I mean, how many times is Butch worried about the first down cheer, or Dooley worried about which way the trash cans were? I don't worry about that stuff with Heupel.
How about Deion creating that line of sunglasses during the regular season that he ended up? I know they sold a ton of them and everything else, but again, it's all about a marketing and promotion machine for him or his son.
At a certain point, you got to win, don't you?
Yeah. Well, you know, he started out 4-0 last year, and I was kind of, I have to say, I was bought in a little bit, saying, okay, man, this must be the way the new college football is going
to
look.
I was stunned when they went down to Fort Worth and beat TCU to open the season.
But Oregon set things straight.
Yes.
and after that, there was really no turning back. And now I just feel like this is a really critical season for them. So we'll all be watching. And like I said, he's creating more and more enemies isn't the right word, but people that are going to be rooting against him. I think that list is getting longer and longer over time.
And I don't know that if there is a crash and burn, there would be people taking great glee in that, I would imagine.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, probably
so. It gets ugly. All right, good stuff. Good stuff, Tucker. I almost called you Marcus again. Struggling.
Marlon.
Struggling. Bear, how would you rate Tucker Harlan's top 4 at 4 this afternoon?
Yeah, it's pretty solid.
You deal with that?
Yeah.
You can accept that?
I can accept that.
Yeah, all right. Sad news from the world of college football today. The Rooster has passed. Marcus Autzen, famous for his red hair and fiery demeanor. He was the starting quarterback for Florida State when Tennessee hoisted the crystal ball in the desert some 25 years ago.
You kidding?
No, passed away. He had HLH. I'm not even going to try to pronounce this. It's a severe systemic inflammatory syndrome. He had that, and doesn't say how old he is, but couldn't have been much more older than me, maybe late 40s.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's right around your age. That's unbelievable, man. Wow.
That's a deep pull. The name rang a bell, but once you needed to tell me what he did.
Yeah.
And then I remembered.
Well, I mean, there's no doubt that game would have been different if Chris Winkie had played. And I'm not saying that we would not have won, but we were able to manage that game and really only needed to score 23 points to beat them because of the strength of our defense, and their offense was lacking without Winkie. I think we certainly could have scored more. It would have been different. And I know Tennessee fans pounding their dashboards right now. Well, it would have been different if we had Jamal Lewis. And fair enough. But that was a tough spot that he was put in. And I guess to his credit, he played Tennessee to a 7-point game. But Philip Fulmer and company got the last laugh many years ago. 865-288-3131. Your number to get on the program here this afternoon as we break things down live from Smoky Stadium in beautiful Sevierville. Let's work in a call from Joshy Boy. Good afternoon, Josh. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. Thank you.
Good. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Joshy Boy. How are you?
Do you ever get to talk to Joshy Boy in the morning?
Not so much on the morning, but he's, I think he called in once on the weekend shows, and then I've listened to he does Big Orange Banter with West Coast Rusty and some others.
What's the matter? Morning show a little bit before you're up and operational, Joshy Boy?
I'm up sometimes like around 8 or 8:30, depends on if I can wake up early or not.
8 or 8:30, huh? That's, you're on Russell Smith hours right there, it sounds like.
Yeah. Bob, how about your Pacers? They're one win away from advancing to the next round, and Tyrese Halliburton, he's had a really, really good season.
Yeah, he's been a little banged up. He's first half of the season, I might have put a little friendly wager on him because the odds were really good for him to be MVP, but second half of the season, he was hurt, and he's struggled a little bit, but He's playing well now. I'm a little worried. I actually expected them to lose last night to Milwaukee. I didn't expect them to get routed like they did, but you know, this game six is important now in Indiana. They need to win that one because I do not like the prospect of them having to go back to Milwaukee for a game seven and the possibility of maybe Dame Lillard playing. I don't think Giannis will be playing. I think they're going to protect their investment there. But I really would love to see them get through this series. They're definitely on a good trajectory. I like that team.
Switching to baseball, are you guys worried any? I know it's fast moving to Florida tomorrow after that midweek loss last night against Lipscomb. Are you guys worried any about last night's loss?
I'm not quaking in my boots by any stretch of the imagination, Joshy boy, but it is a little bit concerning, as we talked about last hour. You know, three runs in both games two and three against Missouri, and then not being able to get the job done against Lipscomb. Would like to see those bats wake up this weekend against Florida, and they're going to have to. I mean, Florida's record is deceiving. I think they're a better team. They have maybe the best player in college baseball, Jack Caglione, on that roster. It's been a feisty rivalry between the Vols and Gators, so I'm sure they've got this one circled, and we're going to get their best effort, and we're going to have to play better, certainly going to have to hit better.
All right. So when could we expect an announcement from Chaz Lanier signing with Tennessee?
I mean, it sounds like it's going to play out. He is going through the draft process, so I think the deadline to take your name out of the draft, I believe, is the last day of the month, which today is the first day of the month.
But he's already entered the portal, correct?
Yeah, so I mean, it could be the end of May, maybe even early June before he has to make a decision.
Yeah, to put things in perspective, Joshy boy, you think back to Dalton Connect, and I believe Dalton Connect didn't commit to Tennessee till like May 22nd last year.
Right.
So he's definitely going through that process. The coaching staff is very, very supportive. I was mentioning on the morning show, I happened to bump into Coach on Sunday, and just we talked for a minute or two, and I, you know, got our niceties out of the way, and I couldn't help myself. I said, "Are we going to get Chaz?" And Barnes just smiled and wouldn't say, but I think it's all going to happen. I mean, it's really one of those deals where they're supportive of him and of Chaz in this process, just like they were Josiah and Santee last season. Let them get the feedback they need, and that's what they're doing with Lanier. And just got to be patient. We're all anxious to get that announcement out, but of a commitment, but it might be a little while.
Yeah. Guys, let's go take 2 out of 3 from Florida. See ya.
Thank you, Joshy boy. Appreciate the phone call. Going to take a quick timeout. We'll be right back with more from Smoky Stadium, getting ready for a game with Biloxi tonight, 7 p.m. after we get done. Ready for a little Smokies baseball here at Smoky Stadium. Back with more right after this on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Continues live from Smoky Stadium in Sevierville on a beautiful Wednesday afternoon, the first day of May. Russell Smith alongside Tucker Harlan. Bob Baskerville is here, and we are pleased to be joined by Aris. I'm going to go for it. Theophanopoulos.
Drained it.
Boom. It's not as difficult as it looks.
No, it's 14 letters. It seems really intimidating, but in reality, it's one of those names where if
harder
you just go,
to spell than to say.
Exactly. Just go bit by bit, you'll get it.
Take some doing. I have an 11 letter last name, and it's not often I have somebody that's got more in there, more letters. So there you go.
When I was a child, all the bubbles were filled in for those like standardized tests.
Oh wow! Oh man, that must have taken forever. Smith is nice, huh? Shout out to my fellow Smiths out there. Aris is the assistant GM here with your Tennessee Smokies. And, man, we couldn't have picked a better day to come up. I mean, just beautiful weather. This is baseball weather, man. If you haven't been to a nine-inning vacation at Smokies Park yet, today is the day, folks.
Making memories that last a lifetime. That's what, you know, my job here is. I put together all the theme nights, the giveaways, and look at all those fun things that take place at the ballpark. You know, things that you typically wouldn't get with a Major League Baseball game like the Braves or the Cubs. You know, we have a lot of opportunities for the kids to get onto the field, easier to get autographs, easier to get giveaways, and we have a lot of fun theme nights and promotions here every single day. And what a beautiful day it is here at Smoky Stadium.
Absolutely, man. Come on out and enjoy the ball game. It starts at 7 out here at Smoky Stadium in Sevierville. And you were just telling us one of the boys got the call yesterday. Is moving on up the ladder.
That is correct. Number 2 prospect in the Cubs organization, Cade Horton, former first round pick, 7th overall. You know, I was just talking about how great he's been doing here in Tennessee this season. He pitched in 4 games, had a perfect 1-0 record, 1.1 ERA, 18 Ks across those innings, which is 2 walks. And naturally, he got called up yesterday. So very exciting for Cade. He's up to AAA Iowa in Des Moines.
Is there any chance that might not be his last call up of the year?
Or? I would be it would be pretty remiss if he doesn't. That guy, he's cool. He is nails. Ran into a couple of players that we battled against in the homestand 2 weeks ago down at the gas station here near the ballpark. And obviously they didn't know who I was. They just thought like I was some fan after the game going there to get like a soda or whatever. And I'm like, oh, tough game tonight, guys. It's like that guy, that starting pitcher. He is unhittable. So coming from, you know, the batters that he faced himself, you know, they know that this guy has a lot of potential and wouldn't be surprised to see him in Wrigley later this year.
That's got to be cool. A guy starts his season out, basically a coworker here at Smoky Stadium, and he's in Wrigley at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And we got a lot of the top prospects here in the Cubs organization. We have – you know, prospect number 4, 5, 6, 7, 12, 22. These are going to be players that you're going to see in the majors. Maybe not this year, maybe not next year, but definitely they're going to be household names as we move forward in their careers. Christopher Morel, he played a full season here with the Smokies. And right now, you know, he's hitting game-winning home runs for the Cubs.
A lot of excitement right now around the Cubs organization. It's, you know, I mean, they won the World Series. It's been a little up and down since then, but it feels like the next big push is coming with some of the prospects they got. So you got a chance to come and see them at Smoky Stadium this summer out here in Sevierville. So what are some of the things that fans are going to see tonight aside from a great baseball game if they come out?
Hey, you know, we're playing the Biloxi Shuckers, and they are the Milwaukee Brewers affiliate. So a lot of great strong names on that team. And, you know, more importantly, it's all you can eat Wednesday. So come out to the ballpark here, and it's all you can eat hamburgers, hot dogs, your favorite ballpark classics, you know, popcorn, all that. What's your favorite?
I like a burger.
Yeah.
I say. Yeah.
Well, you can eat as many as you want. 6 to 8 tonight here. All you can eat Wednesday and any Wednesday at Smoky Stadium this season. Very affordable. Gates open up at 6 o'clock, and you just chow down on all of that.
So. Yeah, that's that is. That's intriguing for sure.
Bob's like, I was going to leave here at 5, but
yeah, I was supposed to had some other plans with my wife for dinner, but might be like, I don't know. I got car problems.
Yeah.
It's work.
Yeah, exactly.
It's work.
Exactly.
You have a business meeting.
Yeah.
Dude, he calls a doubleheader tomorrow. So, I mean, that's a good chance to come out. Did they still call it a businessman special?
Yeah.
Or is that like
that term
is that 20th century talk? Am I dating myself there?
That term is definitely thrown around. Tomorrow we have a slated doubleheader. Gates open up at 5. First pitch is at 5:30. If you have a ticket.
Oh, so that's not the businessman special is a 12:30, 1 o'clock first pitch. That's
right.
That's gonna be a late night.
Hey, you know, I mean, I work every night.
Yeah.
So it's a businessman special for me at least. And you know what? Maybe it won't be a businessman special, but it is Thirsty Thursday. So
there you go.
You get 14 innings of $3 20-ounce pours tomorrow.
All right, man. They are stacking the promotions on top of each other. Big question we got to ask, have you guys had the beekeeper out to make sure that we're good to go for tonight?
You know, I took a look around the ballpark, looked at the nets high and low, and have not seen any of our little black and yellow friends. So that's very good. But maybe we need to call in a beekeeper just in case.
Just in case.
might not hurt to have one on standby. Folks don't know what we're talking about. Game, major league game last night in Arizona delayed 2 hours because of a swarm of bees. They've got video of this. It's the craziest thing you've ever seen. And I mean, chances are they're probably not going to hit a foul ball right there and disturb the bees and cause a terrible incident. But on the 1% chance that it was going to happen, you can't play baseball in that situation.
Yeah, I think I was wondering about that. So when you convey that over to here in Smoky Stadium, and maybe it's not bees, but it's that kind of a cautionary tale. When you see that, you're kind of like, it gives you pause of, okay, you know, just another reminder. You got to, you know, keep an eye out for literally just about anything.
You never know what's going to happen with that, you know, with baseball, basketball, any sport you're talking about. We're putting on a live show here. You know, it's live entertainment. And just as something would happen in a play or a Broadway show, you know, we're a sporting event, and sometimes a huge swarm of bees show up and they're going to have to delay some things. So quite surprising. And shout out to that dude. It ended up, you know, he threw out the first pitch and everything. So pretty cool.
Have you ever seen, I mean, we have any like bears wandering around? Wasn't there a skunk out here 1 year? Was that somewhere? That was somewhere else, maybe a high school in West Knoxville or something. But I mean, We got some critters out here in East Tennessee. You never know what you're going to run into.
Hey, we know we have plenty of trees around the ballpark here. And, you know, it's a funny little statistic, and it's nothing really to share and something that's like a lot to boast about. But I think it's really neat that when you take a look at all 120 minor league baseball clubs from an aerial view, you know, from above, we are the greenest ballpark because we're surrounded by trees.
Oh, wow. Oh, really?
So that being said, you know, there's plenty of critters out there, squirrels and, you know, who knows, La Chupacabra, bees, you know, anything could be out there beyond the outfield wall.
It is a beautiful ballpark.
Yeah,
man. It always, when I walked in here, you that's the first thing your eyes are drawn to, or the great outdoors outside, and it's different, and there's just a very relaxed, cool vibe, big vibes guy at the ballpark, and that's important. And, you know, this is, I'm looking forward to 6 o'clock, just going out there and having a cold beverage and chilling for a little bit.
Yeah, I like walking through. When I came from my car, the only thing I can relate it to is in spring training, I was down in Florida, and I went and saw some games there, and the stadium is very nice, but the way it's configured, and it's probably just because of the terrain and everything, you walk in, but all you're seeing is kind of the underbelly of the seats, you know, and you have to walk up to get in. And I love how you can walk in here and you already just, you got a picture of it already as you're walking in, right? It's that level, and it's wonderful.
Concourse goes all the way around.
Every
time I come here with my kids, they end up wanting to just, it's like a track or something. It calls to them. They have to walk around it all the way to the outfield, as far around as they can go.
That is definitely a big plus here. I've worked at a couple of different teams. I've been to plenty of different ballparks. But just the fact that you can literally take a lap around the ballpark and see the field from every angle. And, you know, our entire seating bowl is, you know, box seats right then and there. You can walk from section 101 to section 118, wherever you want to go. You don't have to go up any stairs for a higher level, only if you're going to enjoy us in our luxury suite level. So it's a great ballpark here. We're celebrating 25 great seasons. Yep. At Smoky Stadium this year. Be on the lookout. We have some special giveaways that are centered around our 25th anniversary.
Defending Southern League champions. Good squad out here. Got to defend the title out here. We're visiting with Aris Theophanopoulos. I screw up the first name. How does that happen?
That's a surprise.
Assistant general manager here with the Smokies. One thing we are very excited about is 4 weeks from tomorrow night, the inaugural fan run night here at Smokies Park, and we've got some big plans out there. So we're looking forward to being back out here at that one. I'm trying to convince, I've been told the anthem is off the table. I've been trying to recruit Bob, songbird of his generation. He's very modest about it, Aris, but
really,
we're going to let somebody else have a crack at it, evidently. A professional singer they want, you know.
Yeah, well, representing our country. So, you know, probably a good choice. But, I've done some wedding singing, which is not the Adam Sandler type, you know, the actual ceremony, that stuff. So, yeah, that got out, and now I'm not living it down, but I am perfectly fine with the anthem being sung by someone more professional. So,
but you're going to let us have some of the other games and stuff we're going to be heavily involved in, hopefully.
Indeed, indeed. May 30th, come on down to Smoky Stadium. Fan run night at the ballpark here. Great opportunities for the listeners out there to have some unique experiences, some one-in-a-lifetime experiences here at Smoky Stadium. We're going to be releasing those, you know, bit by bit as we get closer to the game, and it's going to be a great night. And, you know, we chimed on a little bit earlier. It's going to be a Thursday, so Coors Light, there's Thursday.
Hey, yeah. There you go.
Yeah, that was maybe by design for us. We were like, yeah, that looks like the night. And again, I think we've been talking about it. It's kind of like that week is kind of the unofficial start to summer, right? School's out, and you're coming off Memorial Day. That week, it just feels like, just felt like the right time, and it's before maybe a lot of people start hitting the road for vacation too. So we're excited. Can't wait to be out here and just take in a game and chill and be with some of the fans, and it's going
to
be fun.
Love to have you guys. Really looking forward to it. That's May 30th here at Smoky Stadium.
Yeah.
Aris, anything else we need to be aware of as we finish up our show here in the next hour and a half at Smoky Stadium, getting ready for the game tonight and the rest of the summer? 25 years, hard to believe, 25 years, a quarter century of Smoky Stadium.
Hey, we're just starting off the season. You know, we've only have 10 games under our belt. We play 69 home games, and we're playing this week today through Sunday. Great promotions lined up every single day. This Friday, we have Bigfoot Night. This Saturday, we have Star Wars Night. Our first fireworks show of the season is Saturday. Sunday, we're celebrating Cinco de Mayo. For all of our promotions, our theme nights, our giveaways, feel free to visit us online at SmokiesBaseball.com and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever you do, at Smokies Baseball.
Saturday night, Star Wars night. May the 4th be with you.
There it is.
That is, that's always a big one.
Oh, yeah.
I'm particularly interested in Bigfoot night.
Yeah?
We were talking about that, too.
Do you have something in common with him?
No. We have some friends who are, their kids are really way into the Bigfoot Festival, which is going on out here that weekend.
Yes.
So, yeah. So that's a good tie-in. You guys are kicking it off right.
All right, good stuff. Well, Aris, man, thanks for having us out. Really appreciate it. We'll let you get back to your game day activities, and looking forward to a good one tonight out here at Smoky Stadium.
Thank you.
Thanks, buddy.
Aris Theophanopoulos, assistant general manager out here with the Smokies. We're going to take a quick timeout. We'll open it back up to you at 865-288-3131. Your number to get on the program. Live from Smoky Stadium, the drive continues right here on Fan Run Radio. Back here on Drive Fan Run Radio. Russell Tucker out here, pleased to be joined by the great Bob Baskerville, on loan from the morning show, heard weekdays from 7 to 10 a.m. right here on Fan Run Radio. He's joining us for a little nine-inning vacation out at Smokies Park today. Aris Theophanopoulos, assistant general manager with the Tennessee Smokies. Bear, what did you learn?
Fan Run Night's a thirsty Thursday, Coors Light night.
It's key.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much front and center there for Bear.
Right? Who was the guy who got called up, the pitcher yesterday?
Cade Horton. He's literally, we had Aris on the morning show yesterday morning, and we were talking, and I actually asked him, I said, you know, it's tough sometimes to keep track of these names because you got a lot of talent and they move quickly. Mm. Who is the headliner right now for that team? And he said Cade Horton, and then literally he got the call yesterday afternoon.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, good for him. You never know who the next big leaguer is going to be out here. And you can come out and check out the game tonight at 7 o'clock. Look for me and Tucker. We'll be hanging out for a little bit here this evening. Bob, I know you got to run here next hour. I did want to get your thoughts on the NFL draft. I know you and John have spent countless hours breaking it down, shall we say, levels beyond scientific. But looking ahead towards next year's draft, you know, James Pierce could be as high as number one overall in the draft, assuming he has the kind of season we're all hoping for, a nice season. And maybe the numbers aren't necessarily, I'm sure he's going to see a lot of double teams
yeah
this year, but assuming that he's healthy next year, God willing, and and he shows out at the combine and all that stuff. I mean, what would that do for Tennessee football if he's one of the top several picks in the 2025 NFL draft?
Well, obviously, I think it would be great. I think one of the things we're going to see, at least all indicators are showing this for next year's draft, is the draft that we just completed last week was very offensive, very offense-centric in terms of the players. There wasn't a defensive player taken until the 15th pick. I think it might be the inverse of that next season. You know, there's been a little talk of Shedeur Sanders being highly ranked.
Do you see that, by the way?
I don't myself, but he's a quarterback. He's Deion Sanders' kid. I think that's what's fueling some of that. And based on what I saw, you know, in terms of his behavior on social media yesterday, I'm really hoping that there's kind of a regression there, because he's getting a lot of hype that he's a good quarterback, but I just don't see him as like a franchise guy.
Well, not to get totally sidetracked on this, but I mean, he is smooth out there and throws a nice ball, and he's fast, and like, he's got some talent, but first round quarterbacks, top 10 type picks, don't go 4-8.
Yeah.
I don't think he has to have his team in the playoff next year or anything like that, but you got to win more than four games, right?
Yeah, and one thing I remember as well, because I brought it up in the top five a couple weeks back, there's only like six teams that Deion's going to let him play for.
Man, that's absurd.
Yeah.
And tell me, one of those 20 other teams drafts his kid, he's going to say, no, you can't go there?
Yeah.
I mean, part of me wishes he would for the sports radio narrative that would supply, but I just can't imagine that he would be that conceited and controlling, but it is Deion Sanders, so perhaps.
That's inside. That reminds me, I watched a video night before last. It was Reggie Bush was getting interviewed on one of, I can't remember, I think it may have been Brandon Marshall's podcast. He was talking about the draft, and his agent had decided that they would rather him go to the Jets at number three because it'd be more money, bigger market. So he was like, go ahead. So his agent called Sean Payton, who was with New Orleans at the time, had the second pick. It was like, hey, don't pick him. He wants to go to New York. And basically Payton, verbatim, according to Reggie Bush, said, F you, I'm drafting Reggie Bush second. So, I mean, they can wish in one hand and, you know, the old saying, he can't do anything about it. I mean, the only person who's pulled that off was, what, Eli?
Well, Elway, I guess, managed. He was going to go to the Colts back in the day and fought his way to Denver.
Yes. Traded for Chris Hinton, who nobody knows at this point.
I certainly don't.
Yeah.
You could be making that name up. I would be none the wiser.
I mean, the Colts took him. Yeah, they drafted Elway and then traded him because he was like, I'm not playing for you. And so, so they traded him for an offensive lineman. Yeah, I mean, again, I'm looking at Pro Football Focus's way too early mock draft for 25, and it's all defensive players for like the first six or seven picks.
Wow.
And James Pierce is top of the list. Blake Brockmeyer at 24/7 did the same. He's got Pierce at number one. So whether that happens or not remains to be seen. You got a whole season to play, et cetera. But the fact is, he is going to be in the conversation as a high first round pick. Unless he just totally flops, and I don't see that happening. I mean, there's, like you said, Russ, he might get his share of double teams and things like that, but he's a freak. We know that much, and he's gonna get his.
But I gotta think that is going to be, if that comes to pass, especially if he's somehow able to go number one overall. I mean, my God, because the narrative is this is an offense program, and you know, we don't play much defense and all that stuff. That'll be a good feather in the cap for Heupel, Banks, all those guys. You know, Rodney Garner still doing it. We don't just it's not a crazy throw it all over the place offense here. A, we run the ball as well when you score a lot of points. But B, we play defense.
Right. Yeah. It's not just some gimmicky. I mean, that's what it always felt like with with Mike Leach teams. I felt was like it was always all about the offense and no defense. And so what we're seeing here is, if you get a player like Pierce, like you were saying, even if he's a top three or four pick, that's a big statement in terms of the commitment to defense here.
You guys think what is the morning show consensus around the season? And we're thinking big things, going to be good, pushing for the playoff.
Oh yeah, I think we all feel strongly that it's that Tennessee should, at a minimum, be in the playoff conversation, and don't see why they couldn't. You know, we believe, I'm sure you guys have talked about this too, we believe 10-2 could get you in the playoffs.
Yep.
But it's going to take that. That's the yep. that's the floor.
Sure.
So yeah. So. Yeah, there's. That means you know Tennessee's got to win some games that we know are going to be tough. But I think they've got it in them. I mean, it really, a lot depends on how you know the evolution of Nico is going to be obviously important. We saw some of that in the bowl game. Had a lot that we saw and liked. We're going to need to that evolution will need to continue, right? I mean, defenses will start scheming him more and more, and it seems, if you go back to 2022, it seems like defenses, other than Georgia, defenses did their best to scheme Tennessee, and it didn't really matter. So I'm hopeful that we'll see more of that moving into the next season. So, yeah, I'd say the morning show's position on Tennessee football is, again, 10-2.
Bullish.
And bullish. Yeah, let's get to the playoffs and see what happens there. But it's going to be a tough road. There's a lot of good teams out there.
Tennessee announcing today for the second consecutive year, they have sold out all 70,500 football season tickets.
Wow.
Their entire season ticket inventory at Neyland Stadium. I just remember having these conversations back when, and I don't want to fall into the easy trap of ripping Butch and Pruitt, but I remember, you know, the Butch Jones, I think one year got over the 60,000 mark in total season tickets sold, and you would have thought they were going to hang the damn banner, as we like to say around here. They're printing up rings and everything. And but I remember having the conversation at the time, well, it's just the day and age we live in. People want to watch at home. Nobody wants to go to games anymore, blah, blah, blah. And it just goes to show, man. Like, you yeah. put a winner out there, if you build it, they will come. Yes, they're winning under Heupel. The offense is fun to watch. The expectations are back. And guess what? They're selling out every game again.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, everything you just said, absolutely, with this fan base, too. I mean, the level of passion that they bring, that doesn't surprise me. I think that's exciting, too. I mean, you know, to use the Jim Harbaugh statement, you know, the who's got it better than us. I mean, right now, I mean, our athletic programs, I mean, no championships to show for yeah. it, but they're in the mix on a lot of them. So far cry from where things were just, what, 4 or 5 years ago, really. It wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, yeah, you got to hang a banner eventually, but feels like that day is coming for certain in all these big sports, really. So very interesting, Tennessee, with the sellout for all the season tickets in college football. So it'll be jam-packed crowds once again at Neyland Stadium. We were talking about this yesterday on the show, and, you know, that game against NC State, everybody is starting to focus in on, you know, Oklahoma, I feel like, is getting a lot of buzz. Of course, Alabama is going to be big here. Florida's always big. Georgia, that NC State game is – if you don't think it's a big game, imagine what the narrative is going to be if we lose it.
Right.
And second game of the season, they moved their season opener against Western Carolina to a Thursday. And, of course, this is something Tennessee's done. When we saw that note on the drive a couple months ago that NC State was moving, I think we just sort of assumed, well, Tennessee's going to do that too, because we're not going to give them a two-game head start. It's something that Heupel and Danny White have already shown a willingness to do twice since they've been here. So we started kind of preparing for that. And I don't know about you, I kind of like the Thursday night kickoff now. It gives us a chance to sit around and watch football all day on that opening day Saturday. But apparently UT has let it be known they're not going to do that. They're not switching that game. It's going to be played on Saturday. I asked the guys the question, is this a big deal? Does this give NC State any sort of significant advantage in terms of that extra time to prepare for the game? I think Houston and Bear have kind of downplayed it. Your thoughts?
That's a great question. The only thing I think about is it just gives maybe if I'm correct, memory serves me, isn't Grayson McCall going to be their quarterback from Coastal?
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, wow. And it just gives him maybe a few more days of, or a little bit more time to prep. I don't know. I'm one to believe that it's not that big of a factor, but I'm with you. I like the notion of kicking off the season on a Thursday night. I would be happy to see that happen. And it certainly wouldn't hurt in terms of preparation.
I had not been a fan of that. And I remember doing it against Louisville way back in the day when I think Jeff Rom was the quarterback there. That was maybe the 91 season that we opened up on a Thursday. But traditionally, that's something Virginia Tech does or something like that. And we're Tennessee. But I thought it was kind of cool.
I think it's all about the opponent. I think if it's a big showdown game, I would not like it. I think if you're playing, you know.
Well, the 2 years we did it, I believe it was Pitt game two both years. And so the thinking was, well, it gives you some extra time to get ready for that game.
Right.
And this is, to me, you know, NC State this year feels very much on par with Pitt those first two seasons.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely one of those that could be – it's not fair to call it a trap game. I think they're better than that kind of classification. Dorn's done a really good job there. But I agree. I think it would be good to have more prep for sure. It's going to be a tough one. We've been saying that all along.
Dave Boren Doran, the ghost of Tennessee almost coaches past.
Yeah. He hasn't done bad, actually.
No, he's
good. We could have done worse. Well, we did do worse. What am I saying?
Could have.
Yeah. Yeah. I've had to catch myself there.
But, you know, it's, you know, happy accidents, right?
Yeah.
If you hire Doran, he probably doesn't flame out as quickly as Pruitt did. And then you're Pruitt.
Yeah.
And maybe he gets a fourth year and you don't end up with Danny White or Heupel. And
yeah, that's a good point.
I don't even want to ponder that that alternate universe.
It was all such a blur. Did he remove himself, didn't he? I mean,
Curry was going to offer him the job. He was talking to his agent, and then Curry disappeared.
Yeah. I thought maybe Doran was doing the whole, y'all are crazy, man.
I think it was both. I think Curry disappeared because of the online media. I think Curry was having a mental break. I mean, I don't want to make light of the situation, but, I mean, there was the text from Bev, like, are you okay?
Yeah.
Like, we can't find you right now. And I think that during that, you know, those missing hours from John Curry, like, I think Doran did pull out, but our the Curry was having his mental break, but Tennessee fans were having their mental break as well.
Yes. Yeah. Those days are thankfully long gone, way behind us now.
Oh, man. We were in the thick of it here at Fan Run Radio. It was.
I remember watching.
It was interesting times, yeah. All right. Well, Bob, we appreciate you stopping by. I know you got to run.
Yeah, this was fun. I appreciate you guys having me on. And I hope you guys enjoy a little bit of the game. It's so wonderful out. Where else would you rather be here? Sounds like you could have some access to some food. It's not a bad deal.
I want to get my boy Zach to bring up some seeds.
Yeah.
Some bubble gum.
I want to be able to use that as a flex when we get Fan Run night and get John out here, and we're just like, yeah, hang on, we're going to go talk to the clubby. We'll be back.
We're going to go down there and see if we can't hit up the pregame meal line.
Yes. Any updates from Houston? He hasn't started his.
That's a good question.
He's practicing, is he not?
Bear, you've been keeping up with Kress, right? Do we have a update on how things are going in Paris?
No, I haven't heard from him. I haven't gotten any response from him in
go figure
going on 24 hours now.
I'll call in. I'll give you guys an update. He gets on that lake. His phone's probably been turned off 5 hours.
Practicing. I heard that him explain.
We're talking about practice.
Yeah. It was like, I don't know. I wish him the best.
You sound very skeptical.
Nah, I'm sure he'll do great.
All right.
With his fishing, whatever that is.
Listen for Bob tomorrow morning right here on Fan Run Radio, the morning show with John Reed, 7 to 10 a.m. Bob, thanks, man. Enjoy the trip back to Knoxville.
Yeah, thank you, boys. Have a good last hour, too.
Hour number three coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.